Hi, Patrick Madrid here. Thanks for listening. Check out Charity Mobile and prayerfully consider making them your wireless carrier. Mention offer code Patrick and get a free phone. Go to charitymobile.com.
Compelling insights, unpredictable conversations, encouragement for your day. It's the Patrick Madrid Show on Relevant Radio.
Hey, good morning. Welcome to the Patrick Madrid Show. Thanks for listening. 888-914-9149. That's the number to call to be on the program. And I have open lines galore right now. That's not going to last long, by the way. Never does. 888-914-9149. So you may remember yesterday I gave you some good news, and I like to start with good news whenever I can. And I can again today. Yesterday, Cyrus, you remember this, right? This was the new drug that they have come out with, and I can't remember how to pronounce it, but...
you said it like 50 times yesterday.
I know. Now it's gone. Istepentibol de Benedict. Yeah. You didn't know I spoke Finnish, did you?
You speak everything. I'm not surprised.
I'll have to look that one up and I'll come back to it. Anywho, so as you recall, that drug is really excellent, it turns out, at treating type 2 diabetes, which affects many people, let's face it. And it also has the wonderful side effect of helping you lose a lot of weight. So, you know, one of the people that was described there as rather typical in the study that was done lost like 60 pounds, and that was from taking the medicine. There's that, you know, there's that diabetes thing part of it too. I mean, in order to get the weight loss medicine, you have to have diabetes. So there's that. But I wouldn't be surprised if they turn that around, they rejigger it, and they can maybe make that available in some form. Who knows? It might be available in some form just for weight loss. And apparently it really works. So on the heels of yesterday's good news, I've got more good news for you. This is from NBC. A New York City cancer trial delivers what they're calling unheard of results. This is cancer, and they're finding in the study complete remission of cancer for everybody in the study. And you're saying, what?
Whoa.
I know. That was my reaction. So here's how NBC puts it. Patients with a particular kind of cancer and a particular kind of mutation received a new therapy called dostarlimab. And I don't know if it's dostarlimab or dostarlimab, but let's just go with limab. Dostarlimab, maybe that's how they say it. I never really know for sure. They had results that have never been seen in a cancer trial before. This trial has achieved a result reportedly never before seen, the total remission of cancer in all of its patients. The trial, led by doctors at Memorial Sloan Kettering and backed by drug maker GlaxoSmithKline. I think I went to high school with that guy. GlaxoSmithKline? I remember him.
Mm-hmm.
They only completed treatment of 12 patients with a specific cancer in its early stages and with a rare mutation as well. So all of these asterisks are lining up next to this. It still is exciting, though. The results reported in the New England Journal of Medicine and in the New York Times were striking enough to prompt multiple physicians to tell the paper they believed they were unprecedented. One cancer specialist told the Times it was an unheard of result. According to the New England Journal of Medicine and the New York Times, all 12 patients had rectal cancer that had not spread beyond the local area, and their tumors all exhibited a mutation affecting the ability of cells to repair damage to the DNA. After being treated with the drug, which way are you going to go on this, Cyrus? Dostarlimab or dostarlimab?
Well, if this is real, we're all going to know what this is called very soon.
Dostarlimab.
Dostarlimab. You heard it here first? I like that. Let's go with that one.
Dostarlimab. They're treated with this drug. All 12 are now in complete remission. No surgery, no chemotherapy, no side effects.
No
trace of cancer anywhere in the body.
No way. This is big.
I agree. So obviously that's one particular kind of, by the way, that's how Farrah Fawcett died. That was the type of cancer that she had, and it took her life. May she rest in peace. So doctors quoted by the New York Times said that while the results are promising, they would need to be replicated and expanded. It wasn't clear if the medication in question would be useful beyond the specific application. Well, I'm here to tell you, let's find out. I mean, if there's a way to make dostarlimab, readily available for other forms of cancer, Why not? Let's do it.
This is great. Let's see what happens. I can't help but... Did you ever see Legend with Will Smith?
I don't think so.
No, it's a zombie thing where the whole world is zombies. And
I was probably reading the Bible when you watched that.
You probably were. So yeah. It's a post-apocalyptic movie where you can see like the last gas prices that the world ever had when we still had gas, and it's lower than it is now. but at the very beginning...
As bad as they thought it was going to get, right, it's actually worse than they thought.
The gas prices are actually worse. But the movie starts, the whole thing that starts this whole zombie apocalypse is a drug that cures cancer. Mm. So I'm so pessimistic. I'm just like, okay, yeah, we'll see. Mm. We'll see how good this is. But I hope you're right, because that's amazing.
Yeah. Well, we'll keep an eye on this. And yes, all of the proper qualifications notwithstanding, it was a small study. It was for a particular kind of cancer. It also involved a cancer that had a certain kind of mutation. So all these asterisks next to this. But still, as these oncologists are saying, they've never seen anything like this. So my guess is that they're going to fast track this and try to figure out how do we find out what it is about this drug that cures this kind of cancer, and then just make it cure all kinds of cancers, whatever they may be. Just tweak it so that it will cure that kind of cancer and this kind of cancer. I mean, that would be about as major a medical news story as possible.
A man and a woman.
That's right. No heat, no judgment here. 888-914-9149 is the number to call. Let's do some phone calls. Let's go to Kevin now in Los Angeles. Good morning, Kevin, and welcome.
Good morning. We were disturbed this weekend. I have a 17-year-old daughter, and we're going through some text messages. My wife was, and we found out that she was attracted to same sex, and and we're not hopeless in this, But if you got any guidance on how to deal with this, she doesn't know we know. Mm. But it's devastating news on the surface. But again, we're not hopeless. We can fix this.
And how old did you say your daughter is?
She's 17. She's completed her junior year in high school.
Okay. And tell me again, I just want to make sure I'm clear. How did you find out about this?
My wife was going through her text messages, and she found out that her words were, she had a crush on this girl. And then she went through next day, she went through a text, and one of her friends texted her and said that hey, this girl's your type. And then I guess my daughter said like, yeah, or something like that about another girl, about like a TikTok girl. And so, she's in the high school that she's at is in a very liberal community. Her friends that I've known about this, she has a couple of friends who are bisexual, which bothers me, obviously. And I think she's being influenced by this and, the culture and stuff. I don't, So, I mean, I just don't know how to approach her. And I think it's going to really, she's going to go off to college next year. And I'm afraid that, our concern is that she'll just kind of, be away from us and we won't have much influence at all on her.
Yeah. Did she go to, I'm assuming she went to a public high school, right?
She did. She did go to public school. Yes.
Okay.
So my wife's actually a teacher at that high school as well.
Hmm. Okay. Well, that's a plus, I suppose, but you can see just from this situation how public high schools nowadays, most of them, hard to say really how many, but I would guess most, are morally very dangerous places for young people. So not that you can change the past, but maybe going forward there may be a way to help just as far as her schooling is concerned. Is she planning to go to a secular college, or have you looked at a good Catholic college?
No, we would love her to, but she's a very high academic student, so she's looking at some Ivy League schools. She's also a soccer player, so she has a chance to play, a very, very good chance to play at the next level. And so, we would love her to go to Catholic school, but we don't know.
Well, let's talk about that for a minute, and then we'll circle back to this other issue. Remember, she's still 17, she's still a minor child, and I don't know what your arrangements are by way of paying for this. If she gets scholarships, I suppose that would be paid for by the schools, but you still have a say in where she would go. I have a friend, let me tell you this, Kevin, I have a friend who told me how what he did. Actually was, you know, aware of it at the time. He told his children, he says, you can go to any school you want to, but I want you to go for the first year to a good Catholic school. And as I recall, if I remember correctly, I think it was Christendom College. And he said, I'll pay 100%. You go to Christendom College for the first year and you get your dose of the Catholic faith. And then if you really, really want to leave, then we'll make it so you can go to any other school that you want to go to. And it was a creative way of helping to lay a foundation for his children that really paid off, because they remained in their faith. And as I recall, at least a couple of them stayed there. They didn't want to leave after they had been there for a year or so. So that's something to consider going forward, at least as far as her academics are concerned. Because as you know, she's 17 years now, she'll be 18 soon enough. And from a legal standpoint, at least, she will have the ability to say, I don't care what you and mom say or what you want, I'll do what I want to do. And that often happens. So in the meantime, I guess my first question is, since you say she doesn't know that you know, have you and your wife talked about sitting down with her and gently, lovingly, compassionately letting her know that you're aware of it and start talking with her about that? I think that's the first step. Have the two of you discussed that?
No, we found out Saturday morning, and then again Sunday she looked at him again, and that's when she saw the second thing. But I just don't know how to. I know my daughter. I just feel it's going to put a wedge between us, so I know I'm just seeking advice. That's why I thought of you right away, obviously,
thank you.
Listen to you every morning.
I'm honored that you would ask my advice, Kevin. I truly am. So let me kind of tell you what I would recommend. That would be my first recommendation. Is you can't. I don't think you can really accomplish anything if you don't let your daughter know that you know. Now, obviously, how you know or how you came to know is a bit delicate, because you were looking at her text messages, and that is, you know, she's going to say that's an invasion of my privacy. So you'll have to be honest with her, and you have to say, under other circumstances, perhaps so, but under these circumstances, because you're our child and we have a right to know what's going on in your life, it's not an invasion of privacy, anything more than just wanting to be aware of your well-being and wanting to do what we can to help you. So I would say get that out in the open, and I would suggest that you and your wife together speak to her, and then start the process of dialogue. Start the process with her. Well, let's talk about this. How do you feel? What are your reasons? What are your attractions? Let's discuss it, because we love you. We're not going to turn our backs on you. We'll always love you. There's nothing you can do that will stop us from loving you. But because we love you, we're also going to speak the truth to you. And so help us understand where things are and how you got to this point. I would gently ask her if there was anything that happened to her when she was younger, maybe, or even more recently. Did anyone do anything to you? Did anyone, you know, show you pornography, or did they entice you in some way? It's possible that that might have happened. And it's important to kind of bring it out in the open. You know, what brought you to this point? Then, it seems to me, once you have a clear idea of where her mind is at and what, if any, and there may not be any, experiences she may have had that brought her to this point, then you're in a position to have, you know, more clarity on what you can recommend to her. And I would say to her, if I were you, I would say, there's nothing wrong with friendship. I mean, as long as it's a good friendship, we are attracted to other people. Sometimes we're attracted to people of the same sex, but not in a sexual way. It's not uncommon for young women, and I suppose this may be true for young men, but I think it's, if I had to guess based on what I've seen, I think it's more likely among young women than it is among young men, and that is to go through a phase where they feel sexually attracted to the same sex. And it's born more out of a desire for friendship and intimacy, and, you know, let's face it, women are beautiful, so there's a sort of natural attraction to beauty. But if it's not eroticized, if it is not corrupted by turning it into something sexual, usually, at least from what I have read and anecdotally from what I've heard of, it seems that those kinds of phases, they come and they go. And then as the girl matures, she realizes, well, this is not really who I really am. I'm not really attracted sexually to the same sex. And they wind up moving through that phase. It's possible that's what she's going through right now. This would also mean, when talking to her, finding out to what extent she's actually acted upon this impulse. And maybe she hasn't. Maybe nothing has happened yet, which would be wonderful. But these are all the things, if you're asking for my advice, Kevin, if I were her father, I would be doing these things. I would be trying to understand so I can be clear, and that will help me guide her more readily. You're right, it might cause a wedge, but you have no choice. You love your daughter, and you have to be there for her and do what you can to try to protect her. So at least initially, those are the things that I would recommend doing.
Okay. Is there any scripture that you know on the top of your head that kind of relates to this? I know the scripture, the one that says homosexual is abomination to God. Is there anything else that you know of, or maybe something like a birth video or something I could see and kind of share?
Yeah, for sure. I would recommend that you go on YouTube and look up same-sex debate between Patrick Madrid and Father Mike Schmitz. So maybe about 5-6 years ago at the Defending the Faith conference in Steubenville, I teach at that conference every year, every summer. And we did that year a mock debate. So I obviously don't believe in same-sex marriage. I believe in traditional marriage, as does Father Mike Schmitz. But in order to demonstrate for the audience how to do apologetics, because that's what the conference is all about, is doing apologetics, we actually did a mock debate. So in the debate, I take the position of promoting or defending same-sex marriage. Father Mike Schmitz does a really good job of explaining traditional marriage between a man and a woman. Now, I bring up a lot of Bible verses that, that lifestyle, those who advocate for that lifestyle will try to use to promote homosexuality or to diffuse some of the arguments, like in Romans chapter 1 and other places where homosexuality is condemned. They will try to twist those passages to mean something other than what it really means. And so we work through several of those things. We get into the fairness issue. It's not fair that heterosexual people can get married and homosexual people cannot. That's another big argument. And there are other ones like love. Why not, if two people love each other, why can't they just be married to each other? So it hinges on the question of same-sex marriage, but this, of course, is a precursor to that. So the whole idea of people of the same sex being attracted to each other is the initial step toward something like same-sex marriage. I'm sure you follow. So that's about 2 hours long. And I have to say, I think it's really well done, especially by Father Mike Schmitz, in that he does a fine job of explaining the nature of marriage, the nature of men and women, and discussing things like friendship and attraction and using our sexual powers. How do we use them in the right way? And then last thing I'll mention, Kevin, you're asking for Bible verses. I would go straight to what Jesus says in Matthew chapter 19. Begin reading in verse 1. He's in that passage being questioned about divorce and remarriage, but he begins by giving you the paradigm for human sexuality. He says, in the beginning, God made them male and female. And this is why a man leaves his family and clings to his wife, and the two become one flesh. And what God has joined together, let no man put asunder. So not only do you see the paradigm of male and female, not male, male, female, female, or some other combination, but also he describes in a very, discreet way, he describes the sexual union that is intended for marriage, which is the man and the woman together. That's the plan that God has. Now, that's something that people can argue till they're blue in the face against, but you can share with your daughter, Jesus himself said this, and this is him lovingly reminding us of how God designed our human sexuality and the way marriage is supposed to be. So anyway, those are all things that I would recommend, Kevin. But I must underscore before I go, I have to take a break. Be loving, be compassionate. Remind your daughter, even if she gets angry, even if she, slams the door or walks away, remind her, and your wife too, how much you love her and how you'll never stop loving her and you'll never turn your back on her and you will always be there for her. But as the old saying goes, God loves you just the way you are, yes, but he loves you too much to let you stay that way. Now, that's true for each one of us, and it's certainly true for her. So part of your love for her as her father is to tell her the truth. And if you didn't really love her, you wouldn't bother. But because you do, you're willing to risk unpleasantness because that's how much you love her. So I would definitely encourage you to do these things. Then maybe if you'd like, you know, if you feel like doing this a month or so from now, give me a call back and let me know how this turned out. Those are my thoughts, Kevin. God bless you and your wife. This is definitely a hurdle, but you can get over it. You can get past it. 888-914-9149. We'll take a break. Oh, I see Cyrus just posted that debate that I did with Father Mike Schmitz on Twitter. It's on the show Twitter feed, at P Madrid Show. I'll retweet that and watch it. Watch it with your daughters and sons. Very instructive. I'll be right back. Hi, Patrick Madrid here. Thanks for listening to my podcast. In today's crazy world, finding companies that align with your Catholic values is a challenge. Your choice of cell phone provider matters. Cyrus and I switched to Charity Mobile, and you should too. Enjoy excellent coverage on America's most reliable network while supporting a pro-life, pro-family company. Use offer code Patrick for a free phone. Don't miss out. Act now at charitymobile.com. Catholic Order of Foresters is proud to sponsor the Relevant Radio Studio Line. For information about employment opportunities and flexible premium life insurance plans, visit relevantradio.com/Forester.
Compelling insights, unpredictable conversations, encouragement for your day. It's the Patrick Madrid Show on Relevant Radio.
You remember John Hinckley, Cyrus? You're probably too young to remember when President Reagan was nearly assassinated.
Attempt
that was made on his life.
I didn't know he tried to assassinate the president, but I know he was an accomplished musical artist now.
Ha ha. No. He plays the guitar, doesn't he?
I don't know what he plays. It's not he doesn't do it well, though.
Yeah, he's a kook. He got out. He's getting out of prison. As of the Associated Press had an article here within the last week or so. He's either out now or he's getting out. He attempted to assassinate President Reagan in March of 1981 and wound up, you know, shooting a few other people, including the press secretary, James Brady, who had a terrible brain injury. He died in 2014. President Reagan, as you know, didn't die at that time. He's now dead. But he's been behind bars in a mental institution all these years. And I don't know how this works. I mean, I would think that if you try to kill the president, you're in there forever.
Bye.
Yeah, I mean, it's like it doesn't matter, good behavior or whatever. I'm not privy to what the criteria were that they made this decision by, but they found him when he was tried. He found him not guilty by reason of insanity. And he's been in prison now for, lo, these many 41 years. 67 years old now. I don't think he's got much time left for a musical career.
Wow, I just did a quick Google, John Hinckley. Yeah. Junior sells out his New York City concert.
One of my grandsons, when he was little, he would make that with his tongue. He would make that sound if he didn't like something. He would just go. So sometimes that's the only response to something like that.
Yeah, I believe that's called a raspberry, and it's even more effective if you give a quick thumbs down with it. So you do them both, thumbs down and at the same
time.
Happy
to do so.
Yep.
Yeah, I just, it doesn't sit well with me. I mean, okay, he was insane. All right, but isn't he like still insane? If he was not guilty for shooting the president because he was insane at the time, if he's now sane, I mean, shouldn't he still bear the burden of his crime? It seems to me he should. I don't know. So this is just one of those odd things. He's got a CD out, 14 songs. Please never, ever play any of them at any time on this program. I can see you looking. You want to press that button, John Hinckley button.
It's so bad, I can't do it.
Yeah.
Yeah, there are times where you say you don't like something, and I'm quick as quick as I can be to play it, just because I like to. I love that look on your face. You're like, get that off the radio. But I can't even put this on the radio. I'm not.
It's the look of curdled milk. When you see my face curdle, that's such a great word, curdle.
Curdle,
and it only means one thing. You know,
gross.
It's going bad. So okay, yeah. So we've agreed. No, we have a treaty. No John Hinckley music on this 100%. Program. Just, I hope it's not the kind of treaty that we had the first day that you started working for me, when you said, please just be aware, I don't want to go on the air for anything at any time. And within 2-3 minutes, I had you on the air.
Yeah, thanks for that.
Mm-hmm. I count that as a kind of victory. I need a merit badge for that, the Cyrus merit badge.
All right.
We should, you know what? We should issue Taco merit badges to all of our Team Taco listeners. They're out there.
That's not a bad idea.
Not a bad idea. Team Taco. By the way, if you want to be on Team Taco, it's easy. I don't even know what it means exactly, but if you want to be on that list on Twitter, just send me a note. I'm at Patrick Madrid. Just say, I want to be on Team Taco, and I'll add you to the list. Now, I don't know what it actually does, but it does confer upon you membership in Team Taco. Today's Taco Tuesday, by the way.
So it is.
Okay, I'm just thinking about lunch. 888-914-9149. This email,
I like tacos.
This email comes in from Jennifer. She says, Patrick, is CCD, and I'll translate that for those who don't know. CCD is the acronym for Confraternity of Christian Doctrine, and prior it used to be called Catechism, or Sunday School class. You might hear it talked about that way. And she says, is CCD mandatory to receive your sacraments? I ask for several reasons. My daughter has, my daughter has always been well ahead in understanding her faith because my husband and I teach her. She reads the Bible, the catechism, prays the rosary. We have always gone to Mass weekly. She listens to your show and much more. She sounds like a very sharp girl. I also homeschool her, so we incorporate other things into that as well, such as learning about virtues and saints this year. Basically, we live a Catholic life the way we should incorporate it into our daily life. I'm spending $200 a year for CCD to basically check a box for things she already knows. Not only that, I could get much better books to do this on my own for a lot less. Then I get lectured and told I can't register for CCD next year if we miss a lesson or two for illness. They also keep track of my daughter's mass attendance, and we have to prove we go to other churches, if not the one where we attend CCD. It's my understanding that CCD was put into place for parents who needed help educating their children in the faith, which we don't. So is it needed? I'd like to discuss this with the priest, but I'm trying to make sure I'm knowledgeable. Thank you. Well, Jennifer, I completely understand. Just given the fact that you and your husband are doing so many wonderful things to help your daughter learn her faith. So my hat's off to you both for that, certainly. And if I were the parish priest, I would, if you came to me and explained the situation, I'd say, you know what, your situation is different. It's not the norm. And he has the authority to be able to say, sure, your daughter can receive. I don't know what sacraments she's due to receive. I presume she's probably past the point of having her first Holy Communion. You didn't specify how old she is, but that's okay. So whatever the sacrament is that's impending, maybe it's confirmation. I would try that. Just sit down with him and tell him what you told me. And chances are he already knows your family. And you can say it's burdensome to pay $200 a year for CCD when she's already getting at least as much in these other areas. And she's ready. She's ready now. Is there any way that she can, you know, not have to go through all of that? And he might say, sure, we can make an exception for your daughter. Now, he might also say no, because if we make an exception for you, maybe we'll have to do that for other people and it could become a mess. So it would be worth finding out. Now, let's assume a not so good scenario turns out here. It's always your prerogative, if you decide to do this, to go to a different parish. Now, I don't like the idea of parish hopping or parish shopping. Sometimes, unfortunately, in the world we live in, that is necessary. I saw a video floating around on the interwebs yesterday. Cyrus, I think you saw it. And this is this utterly ridiculous mass that's being celebrated in some schmo. It's not the priest. some schmo is up there with like a gigantic bubble blowing wand, and I mean like 3 feet across, and during mass, apparently in this video, he's like blowing these huge bubbles and cackling and making a big spectacle of himself. And then they cut to a clip where the priest and the deacon are, and everybody else, are singing and dancing to Kool and the Gang song. And it's just mind-bending how ridiculous that kind of thing is. Thankfully, you don't see that much of that kind of thing much anymore, although there's still pockets of insanity here or there. So I offer that as an example to say, if you are like living within the boundaries of a parish like that, do yourself a favor and go to a parish where it's more Catholic. So there are situations where you might be driven to do that, as unfortunate as it is, and this might be one of them. So work it out with the priest, see if he's, you know, sympathetic to your situation. And if it just doesn't work and you can't really justify this, then if you were to go a mile or two in a different direction and go to a different parish, I think that's reasonable. So those are my thoughts. Cyrus, you saw that video. We don't have to really talk about it, but saw it, right?
I did.
You were shocked by it.
Yeah, it seems like a circus caricature of what a Catholic church would be. I mean, it's nothing. It didn't ring Catholic at all.
Until you see the altar and the Paschal candle and the vestments, and then you realize it's either like a high church Lutheran church where it's just like an exact copy of a Catholic church, or it's Catholic Church. But it's an example, I guess, of just the insanity that infests, thankfully now, at least anecdotally from my own experience traveling the country for 35 years now, speaking at parishes up and down and sideways, everywhere, big and little. And I've thankfully not seen hardly anything like that anymore.
What do you think the... I don't understand the reasoning behind it. Is it because they see these big mega churches and they're like, well, they're all... You know, they have the live music and it's more like a concert. So if we make it really fun, you know, that'll fill up the pews.
Well, I don't comprehend why somebody would do that. But I have... I've often wondered if you're not really... I don't know how to put it. If you're not seriously a follower of Jesus Christ, if you don't take it seriously, if you don't really believe in the things that Jesus taught and what the church has traditionally taught, you are very susceptible to be blown around, as the Bible says, driven this way and that way by every wind of opinion. People can become unmoored from a serious and faithful approach to their relationship with Jesus, and then they can fall into all kinds of silliness, all kinds of craziness. And, you know, there was a time immediately after the Second Vatican Council where there was a whole lot of that all over the place. And I remember vividly the 70s and the 80s especially. Oh, the 80s were in many ways a real wasteland, liturgically speaking. And then it began to sort of subside, and I think it was under the authority of Pope John Paul II who gradually began to sort of pull things back in the right direction, and they seem to, largely at least, have gone continuously in that direction, kind of coming back to a more traditional way of practicing the faith. But just some people, they never got that memo. So anyway, those are my thoughts. I want to share a statistic. This is, I guess, not surprising, but it's still disappointing. This is from Gallup. They just took a poll. 71% of Americans say that they support legal same-sex marriage. That exceeds the previous high of 70%, which was recorded last year. So it's gone up a point. These data are from Gallup's annual Values and Beliefs poll, which was conducted May the 2nd through the 22nd. When Gallup first polled about same-sex marriage in 1996, barely a quarter of the public, 27%, supported legalizing such unions. So 1996, 27% of the population supported same-sex marriage. It would take another 15 years until 2011 for the support to reach the majority level. And then in 2015, 1 month before the U.S. Supreme Court's decision on Obergefell versus Hodges, public support for legalizing gay marriage went to 60%. Last year, it got to 70%. This year, it's 71%. Rising national support for legal same-sex marriage reflects steady increases among most subgroups of the population, even those who have traditionally been the most resistant to gay marriage. This is from the Gallup news release. Adults 65 and older, for example, became mostly supportive in 2016, as did Protestants in 2017 and Republicans in 2021. I'd like to look at that one statistic. Adults 65 and older, for example, became mostly supportive in 2016. I can tell you why. I'm almost certain it's because many of them have homosexual sons and daughters. And it just does a number on somebody when your child, whom you love very much, embraces that lifestyle and you've got a choice. Do I go along to get along, or do I resist it? And if I resist it, I run the risk of losing my relationship with my son or daughter. Some of you have gone through this. So in a way, it doesn't surprise me that because of how painful and difficult and troubling this whole situation is, for parents to say, well, you know, I love my son, I love my daughter, so I want to have a relationship with them, so I'm just going to say, okay, that's fine. And their opinions change. That's my guess. Americans who report that they attend church weekly remain the primary demographic holdout against gay marriage, with 40% in favor, 58% opposed. Now, I think the reason for that, if I had to guess, is because people who go to church weekly, and it doesn't break it down between Catholics and Protestants, at least not in this article, but those are the people who are going to be the most exposed to biblical teaching. Far more likely that they will be hearing biblical teaching if they're going to Mass every Sunday than they would if they never went to church, Mass or, you know, Protestant churches. In looking at this trend since 2004, they show that Americans who seldom or never attend church have always been mostly supportive of same-sex couples getting legally married. Among those who attend nearly weekly or monthly, support did not rise to the majority until 2014. Weekly churchgoers have yet to reach a majority level of support in the trend. The current 40% among this group who support same-sex marriage is within the 39 to 44% range Gallup has recorded since 2016. So my view of this, and Cyrus will get a link to this so you can read it and go deeper if you want to look at the study, is that under this steady barrage of propaganda that has infested movies and television programs and songs and social media for lo these many years, it's having its effect. Drip, 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 drip. Eventually, people's hearts and minds changed. Now, I'm going to tell you a source for this. When we come back from this quick timeout, there was actually a, you might say, a blueprint for how this would be accomplished. And I'll tell you a little bit about that blueprint and who wrote it and what they proposed and what happened since then. We're living with the results of it. This is the Patrick Madrid Show on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app, and I'll be right back. Catholic Order of Foresters is proud to sponsor the Relevant Radio Studio Line. For information about employment opportunities and flexible premium life insurance plans, visit relevantradio.com/forester.
Keeping it relevant. It's the Patrick Madrid Show on Relevant Radio. Join the conversation at 888-914-9149. That's 888-914-9149. Patrick Madrid is on Coast to Coast on Relevant Radio.
We do it in Mexico all the time.
We do it in Mexico all the time.
I can't even do that guy's voice.
Burning or anything? I'm going to go home and lay down.
We do it in Mexico all the time. Play that again. I like that.
We do it in Mexico all the time.
Yeah. Oh, check it out, Cyrus. I had a blast meeting a whole bunch of new friends, like 500 new friends in Bakersfield this past weekend. And they all listen to Relevant Radio. They all love Relevant Radio. They told me so. And they listen to the program. And they love you too, Cyrus.
Oh, go figure. Shucks.
Yeah, I know. You're blushing. But you'll love this. I don't remember when this was, but within the last few months, a gentleman called up to the program. And I talked to him, and I thought he sounded like Pedro from Napoleon Dynamite. Play it again. We do it in Mexico. Play that.
All right.
I think they have a heater on or something.
No, play.
We do it in Mexico all the time.
Yeah. Okay, so this was...
you went your very precise Pedro soundbite.
That's the one. So this was like the high watermark of my entire visit. And there were many of them because they're such wonderful people. They served me tacos, too. It was glorious. But the guy... There was a man who called the program within the last couple of months. And I thought his voice sounded very much like Pedro. So I asked him to say... Vote for me and your wildest dreams will come true, which is a line.
You did not.
I did. You were on the air. I mean, you were with
me.
Yeah, I did that. Anyway, so he comes up to me beaming. He's got a big 1,000-watt smile on his face. And he says, do you remember me? I said, no. He says, I'm the guy that called into the show to ask you a question. And you first made me say the line from the movie. And he loved it.
That is hilarious.
And so I asked him to say it again. Just to amuse myself. But he liked it, though.
That was really cool
to actually meet the person who said that on the air, and he showed up.
So what a good sport. Wow.
Yeah. He liked it. Let's go to Julie in Maple City, Michigan. Good morning, Julie.
Good morning, Patrick. I've never called in before, and I said I didn't know if I could go on the air, but this is something that I hear a lot, and it just always kind of pushes my buttons. About your, we always mention Gallup polls, and I keep hearing, you know, for pro-choice, the Gallup poll is going up, or for like what you were just talking about, they keep saying the numbers are going up. But I always wonder, where are these polls? Who are these people? And is it just part of the whole message, the liberal normalization message, you know?
Yeah. Well, it's certainly possible that that is a skewed result, and sometimes, you know, results can be skewed for political purposes or to shape a narrative. I don't doubt that. Oh, you know who did a really good job of that was Bernard Nathanson, who formed NARAL, one of the earliest pro-abortion organizations. He did this, I believe, it was back in either the 60s or the early 70s. And when he had his conversion and he wound up becoming pro-life and becoming Catholic, he said, with impunity, we just simply made up statistics. We just made it up and we inflated them through the roof. And then the media bought it and they began to carry that narrative. And before you know it, everybody thought that based on these bogus statistics that we cooked up, that that's what people really believed. And so it does happen. Now, I'm not saying that Gallup is guilty of doing that. I'd like to think they're not, but the way you ask a question can shape the way people answer it. There are all sorts of ways in which you can position the polling questions so that you get a desired result. And I don't know to what extent, if any, that that's happening there. But here's the thing I think about, Julie. You're making a good point. Is it possible that these statistics are tendentious? It is possible. But who cares? My opinion is, who cares? Let's say that they did a poll and 99% of people said that it's okay to own slaves. It wouldn't make it okay to own slaves. Even if everybody thought it'd be okay to do it, it would still be wrong.
Sure.
So I'm sure that you, like I, are looking at these figures and saying, well, ultimately, even if everybody says, yeah, it's okay to be gay or it's okay to do whatever, it doesn't make it right. And so we shouldn't be
swayed
by that.
But people do hear, you know, if they're just taking a poll of, for example, you know, maybe a certain group in a certain city or in a certain location, that group then will be absolutely, you know, the statistics will come out absolutely different than it was in a rural, very Christian area of the country. And I'm not sure if they just make random phone calls during the day, or, you know, when maybe a lot of people who are hardworking, conservative Christians are working, the rest, you know, it just depends on how they're sampling, where their sample comes from, of course. And I just don't think people realize how easily they hear a statistic and a number, and statistics can be so easily swayed, and you can pull different groups to manipulate those statistics. And anyone who has a little bit of background in statistics knows that a statistic absolutely doesn't mean a whole lot. And if nothing else, to give you some hope that maybe those statistics aren't exactly true.
Well, that may be the case. Another classic example of that was the Alfred Kinsey report that was conducted in the 1950s. And the result that he came up with was that 10% of the population of the United States is homosexual. Now, you know why that was a false number? It was vastly inflated. It's because the preponderance of those that he was interviewing for the male section of this were male prisoners, prisoners in jail and prisons where that kind of thing is very high. So he skewed the data, and it's been proven as a result of further study. He skewed the data in the Kinsey report to try to reflect a more mainstreaming or normalizing of sexual perversion, because he himself was a sexual pervert in a number of ways. And so he wanted, it seems, to justify that by making it appear that more and more and more Americans were like super okay with it. And later on, it was found that his results were in many ways fraudulent. So there's another glaring example of that.
It happened. I had some back. My background is in science, and I've also worked in large industries and corporations and pharmaceutical companies as well. And data can be skewed. It happens all the time, unfortunately. Mm-hmm. So if you want to have a particular message or particular outcome, you can pull numbers from different groups that look more more positive or negative, whichever message you want to send.
Yeah. I'm sure you heard Mark Twain's classic line. He actually was quoting the British Prime Minister Benjamin Disraeli about lies, damned lies, and statistics. And he was right.
Absolutely.
That's so great.
Absolutely.
You're thinking about Mark Twain, and I'm thinking Homer Simpson.
Oh, people can come up with statistics to prove anything. 40% of all people know that.
There's also a great Peanuts cartoon that said, I'm not going to quote it correctly, but basically to the same thing about, you know, science is about questioning everything. Why should we? It's never about not questioning. So I find that the world we live in right now is all about asking good questions.
Yes. Well, Julie, I'm with you, and I agree that there certainly is room for tendentious, skewed data. And I certainly agree with you that when somebody has a vested interest in wanting people's opinions to appear to be a certain way, then there are ways to position those questions and the kind of populations that you sample that will be weighted in a certain direction. I certainly agree with you on that. So to what extent does this accurately reflect the national mood on this issue or abortion? No one knows for sure, but I would say on the whole, I'm assuming this is probably more representative than less representative. I would assume that it's probably more likely to be true than less likely, given the circumstances that we're in now.
I hope not. I pray not.
Yeah. Yeah, I know what you
mean.
Can I
add a personal note, Patrick?
Sure. Yeah, sure.
So I just wanted to say that you have been an inspiration to our entire family, and listening to you every day has made all of us much more deeply rooted in our faith, and in fact, probably led to conversions of my husband and my two children this past Easter.
Wow. I am so
I know it's a lot to put on your plate. I know it's a lot to put on your plate, but since I've gotten a chance to talk to you, I just wanted to thank you personally and Relevant Radio for that matter. So all of Relevant Radio has really helped us all get much, much closer to our faith. And we are out there promoting you and telling our those in our church about you as well.
Thank you, Julie. Well, that means a lot. I'm grateful. And I give all the glory to God because he's the one in charge.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
He's making use of us in amazing ways. Thanks be to God.
You're all tapped by the Holy Spirit, so that's for sure.
Thank you, Julie. Thank you. Well, I enjoyed our conversation. I'm glad you called today.
Oh yeah, I'll be listening. And shout out to Cyrus too. Keep on the radio, Cyrus. We love you as well.
Everyone loves Cyrus. Well, hey, Julie, you hit it out of the park for your very first call ever, and that bodes well for the future. So please do call me back another time. I'd love to talk to you. 888-914-9149. So, Cyrus, does a man have to know his limitations or what?
I think you can squeeze one in.
Can I? Okay, let's go. Let's do it. Let's go to Mary in Milwaukee. Good morning, Mary.
Hi, Patrick. I'm just calling. I live in the Milwaukee Archdiocese. Mm-hmm. And I was told yesterday that a gay couple had their child baptized in one of the Catholic churches in our diocese. And I'm confused because they are currently living in mortal sin, and so I'm confused on how that all happened. In addition to that, my understanding is that even a heterosexual couple who's married outside the Catholic Church, if they bring their child in for baptism, their marriage would, or the priest would have to help them get their marriage blessed before that child would be baptized. So if you could just address that, because I'm having a little bit of confusion on that.
Sure, I'll do my best. So the thing to remember is that people have a right to the sacraments, number one. They have a right to receive baptism if they want. So in the case of little children, they don't have the wherewithal to ask for it themselves. So what the church says is that if you want your child baptized, definitely bring the baby in to be baptized, but you have to be committed to providing a home life in which the child can grow up with an authentic Catholic faith that's nurtured and nourished by the parents. And this, of course, is detrimental to that goal. If you have two men living together as if they were married, they may be legally married, but they're not married in the eyes of God. And that creates a scenario where the child is not going to be able to grow up in that. So the church would say, until and unless you can get that situation rectified, then more often than not, the church is going to decline the baptism of that child. Now, you know what? There's more that I should say about that, Mary. So if you don't mind holding, I'll come back to you at the top of this next hour and offer a few more thoughts to round that out. I'll be right back.